You're listening to Rethinking Sustainability, thoughts, ideas, inspirations for a livable future. Here's a question for you. What's your favorite invention? It could be anything, like something you enjoy, something that makes your life better in some way. I quite like a bit of technology. My first profession was in IT. It was fun, challenging, and rewarding, mostly. I did have some really shitty jobs, but that was because of some shitty people, not the technology. And I'm able to record this program for you, which means you can listen to it anywhere in the world, wherever you choose. And it's pretty cheap too, so I'm doing pretty well on that score. Now let's think about the invention that you would place on the opposite end of the spectrum. What thing would we be better off if nobody had ever invented? It doesn't have to be a technology. It's just any invention that you wish never existed. And to give you time to think about it, here's a few seconds of elevator music. Okay, done. Now, I reckon there's a pretty good chance of guessing the invention that you chose. Was it nuclear weapons? Yeah, thought so. And you don't need me to tell you that these things are probably the worst, most lunatic things humans ever created. And you know why, so I won't go on about that. Now here's another. It's not a weapon, but an idea that has caused so much misery, suffering, more environmental damage than nuclear weapons ever have. Well, at least so far. This invention hangs over us every day, and it's an ongoing disaster for almost everybody it touches. Almost. Can you guess? Well, here's a clue. The group of people who benefit most from this invention are the weapons industry. Now that's right, I'm talking about war. A war is an ongoing scourge on humanity, and I say this coming from the son of a career soldier and as someone who's even done a little military service, but that was in peacetime. Now, back in 2006 I was thinking about these things, not long after the Iraq invasion, which to me, and still is, utterly grotesque. War is not bold, it is not courageous, even if it does call on individual bravery. A war is the ultimate failure, and political leaders who launch us into unnecessary war are failures. And I've decided to rebroadcast this program here because, well, listening to it now, it's as relevant as it ever was. And even in peacetime, it is not remotely sustainable. War and the weapons industry consume vast amounts of non-renewable resources. Tanks and bombs indiscriminately crush everything in their path. Now I'd like you to take a look at the poster that I've included with this episode, which I found a week ago in a small Victorian country town. It says, "Blood washes off, bruises go away, bone heals, scars show character, pain is temporary," and then it trumpets, "Victory lasts forever." Wait, who wrote this? Whose blood washes off? Whose bone heals? And what does victory mean? Whose victory? Look, I'm sorry, this sort of thing makes me really upset, so I'll stop here. Now here's the short piece that I recorded for ABC Radio National in 2006.
This is an ABC Radio National podcast. For full details, abc.net.au/rn.
Hello and welcome to Perspective with me, Sue Clark. Childhood can be a magical time. With imagination and a best friend, almost anything is possible. Whether or not you learn from these times depends on what situations you put yourself in and how you react to them. For Canberra-based blogger Rod Taylor, the lessons of war and violence came early. Redemption has taken a lifetime.
It is a notable trait of American culture that they like to sing of their success, of how they overcame impossible odds to come out on top. I like this. We need these stories to help make it through the challenges of life. I was reading a blog the other day of how one such person came to defeat a bully. I thought of my own experiences with bullies, and in particular of how I failed to deal with one. But today I want to tell a different story, a story of failure. But perhaps it is necessary to go through failure on the way to success. At age 14, my best mate was Craig. We loved doing all the boy things. we jumped our bikes and got up to all sorts of mostly harmless mischief. We tried making bombs and rockets out of homemade gunpowder, but mostly they just fizzed lots of smoke. I'll never forget Dad coming into the kitchen after one of my recipes had just caught fire, filling the room with thick smoke. Oh, crap, I thought. I'm toast. But Dad was way cool. He just looked around, waved his hand and said, and then he just walked out again. Thanks, Dad. I don't know how I was going to explain that one. Craig sometimes had other bright ideas. One such was to set fire to his hand. Well, fine, if you really want to. I don't mind watching. But Craig wasn't completely silly. He had a bucket of water handy, so to speak. He poured petrol over his hand and flick, flick with a lighter. He tried unsuccessfully to light it. His mum's radar was obviously working that day. When she got home, almost the first thing she said was, "You'll never guess what I just heard on the radio. Some stupid boy just set light to his own hand, and now he's in hospital." So one day, I'm up at Craig's place, which backs onto reserve. Up there are a couple of younger kids, I'd say maybe 9 or 10 years old, much smaller than us, also mucking around doing boy things. I don't know who did this, but one of us picks up a small rock and lobs it at the other. Yay, that was fun. But in a flash, here comes one back again. Well, we can't have that. Here's another one for you. Ow, that hurt. Pretty soon the rocks grow bigger and faster, and aim gets deadlier and nastier. This was fun to begin with, but now I'm not so sure. The air is swarming with flying rocks. We run from tree to tree, looking for cover, flinging missiles as we go. I throw, duck, and run. This can't be right. We have overwhelming physical superiority. We are far bigger and stronger, but these kids won't back off. One in particular is a plucky little so-and-so. I score a direct hit. He gets one back. It's me and him. Damn, I want him to stop. Bang, I hit him with another. It must have hurt. The way to defeat him must be to overwhelm him with superior force. But wait, he's running to our yard, arm cocked. We're ready for a Trafalgar battle broadside, so I jump the gunnels and pin him to the ground. His neck is small and helpless in my hands. I feel his sinews, hear him gurgle and spit abuse, and yet he will not give. I'm furious and desperate, knocking his head to the ground. I don't want to hurt him anymore. I just want him to stop. My rage terrifies me. His eyes are fairly popping, and tears are streaming down his cheeks. I'm appalled and sickened by my own savagery. How did we get into this? Why doesn't he give up? I'm crushing him by force, and yet, through teary eyes, he stares back at me with unrelenting determination. I've reached the limit of force. I have nowhere to go but retreat. We'll make a deal, I tell him. I'll stop if you stop. Let's call it quits. Okay, he says. We've found a way out, and cautiously I release my grip. True to his word, he slinks off, bruised, cursing, and defiant all the way. I never meant for it to get to this. It just got out of hand. My physical strength was not enough against such a determined opponent. My only escape was to surrender some pride. But the real shame was that I allowed it to happen in the first place. And now I look at the world, and I see this story repeated on a global scale. Just being stronger is not enough. If I have a personal plea, it is to be prepared to take a slap on the face and not feel obliged to return it. I despair at those who think the ultimate violence of war is the only way to repair the world.
Rod Taylor with today's perspective. And don't forget, if you'd like to read Rod's piece or download or podcast it, you can. Just go to our website, abc.net.au/RN, and follow the prompts. On ABC Radio National, it's news time.
You've been listening to Rethinking Sustainability, and if you'd like to contribute to this series, get in touch with me, Rod, at tayloram2000@zoho.com.